At Foghorn, Kathleen. Isn't it awful?
It is indeed, ma'am. It's like a banshee.
I don't mind it tonight. Last night it nearly drove me crazy. I lay awake worrying until I couldn't stand it anymore.
A bad cess to it. I was scared out of my wits riding back from town. I thought that ugly monkey Smythe would drive us in a ditcher against a tree. You couldn't see a hand in front of you. I'm glad you had me riding back with you, ma'am. If I'd been in front with that monkey, he can't keep his dirty hands to himself. Give him half a chance, he's pinching me on the leg or the you-know-where. Oh, asking your pardon, ma'am, but it's true.
It's not the fog that I mind, Kathleen. I really love fog.
Well, they say it's good for the complexion.
It hides you from the world and the world from you. It makes you feel that everything has changed and that nothing is what it seems to be. No one can find you or touch you anymore.
I wouldn't care so much if Smythe was a fine, handsome man, like some chauffeurs I've seen.
I mean,
if it was all in fun, for I'm a decent girl. But for a shriveled runt like Smythe. I've told him. You must think I'm hard up that I'd notice a monkey like you. I've warned him. One day I'll give a clout that'll knock him into next week. And so I will.
It's the foghorn that I hate. It won't leave you alone. Keeps warning you and reminding you and calling you back. But it can't tonight. It's just an ugly sound. It doesn't remind me of anything except maybe Mr. Tyrone snoring. I always have such fun teasing him about it. But I suppose I snore myself at times, and so it's not really fair to make fun of him, is it?
Yeah, sure, everybody healthy snores. It's a sign of sanity, they say. What time is it, ma'am? I ought to go back in the kitchen. The damp is in Bridget's rheumatism, and she's like a raging divil. She'll bite my head off.
No, Kathleen, don't go yet.
Well, you won't be alone for long, ma'am. The master and the boys will be home
soon. Oh, I doubt they'll come at all. They have too good an excuse, they believe, to remain in the bar rooms where they feel more at home. Now, don't worry about Bridget, Kathleen. I'll tell her that I kept you with me, and I'll give you a big drink of whiskey to take to her when you go, and then she won't mind, will she?
No, ma'am. That's the one thing can make her cheerful. Oh, she loves her drop.
Have another little drink yourself, Kathleen, if you wish.
Oh, I don't know if I'd better, ma'am. I can feel what I've had already. Well, maybe one more won't harm. Oh, here's your good health, ma'am. Well, the master's sure to notice what's gone from the bottle. He has the eye of a hawk for that.
We'll play Jamie's trick on him.
Huh?
All we have to do is measure out a few drinks of water and pour them in. Here. Here.
Oh.
Here.
God bless us. It'll be half water. He'll know by the taste.
Oh, no, he won't, Kathleen, because when he comes home, he'll be too drunk to notice anything. He has too good an excuse, he believes, to drown his sorrows.
Ah, well, it's a good man's failing. I wouldn't give you a trawneen for a teetotaler. They've no high spirits. A good excuse. Oh, you mean Master Edmund, ma'am. Yes, I can tell the master's worried about him.
Oh, don't be so silly, Kathleen. Why should he be? A touch of grip is nothing. And Mr. Tyrone is never worried about anything except money. My husband is a very peculiar man, Kathleen.
Well, he's a fine, kind, handsome gentleman, just the same, ma'am. Never mind his weakness.
Oh, I don't mind, Kathleen. I've loved him dearly for 36 years.
Oh, that's right, ma'am. Love him dearly. For any fool can see, he worships the ground you walk on. Speaking of acting, ma'am, how is it you never went on the stage?
What put such an absurd notion into your head, Kathleen? I was brought up in a respectable home, and I was educated in one of the best convents in the country. I was a very pious girl, and I even dreamed of becoming a nun. I never had the slightest desire to be an actress.
Well, I can't imagine you a holy nun, ma'am. Sure, you never darkened the door of a church, God forgive you.
I never felt at home in a theatre. My goodness, look at the fog. I can't even see the road. All the people... people in the world could pass by, and I would never know it. Wish it were always like that, Kathleen. It was kind of you to keep me company in the car.
Asher, wouldn't I rather ride in a fine automobile than stay here and listen to Bridget's lies about her relations? It was like a vacation, ma'am. Now, there was only one thing I didn't like.
What was that, Kathleen?
Was the way the man in the drugstore acted when I took in the prescription for you. The impudence of him.
What man? What drugstore? Oh, yes, I remember. Yes, that man. What did he say? Not that it matters as long as he filled out the prescription.
Well, it mattered to me then. I'm not used to being treated like a thief. He gave me a long look and says, insultingly, where did you get hold of this? And I says, it's none of your damn business. But if you must know, it's for the lady I work for, Mrs. Tyrone, that's sitting out there in the automobile. Now, that shot him up quick. He gave a look out at you and said, oh, and went to get the medicine.
Oh, yes, he knows me. I have to take it, Kathleen, because it is the only thing that kills the pain. All the pain. I mean, in my hands. They were once musicians' hands, Kathleen. I used to love to play the piano. And Mother Elizabeth and my music teacher said they couldn't remember a student that had more talent than I. My father even paid for special lessons. Oh, he spoiled me dreadfully. He would even have let me go to Europe for further study when I graduated. And I might have gone too, if I hadn't fallen in love with Mr. Tyrone. You see, Kathleen, I had two dreams. One was to be a nun, and that was the more beautiful one. And the other one was to be a concert pianist. Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't touched a piano in years. I couldn't play with these fingers. See, Kathleen, see how ugly they are. I won't look at them. They're worse than the foghorn for reminding me. But even they can't touch me now. I see them, but they're far away, and the pain has gone.
You've taken some of your medicine, ma'am. Mm-hmm. It's made you act funny. If I didn't know better, I'd think you'd a drop taken.
Oh, no. It kills the pain. You go back until it can't reach you anymore. Back into the past. Were only the times when you were happy or real. Oh, Kathleen, if you think that Mr. Tyrone is handsome now. Oh, you should have seen him when I first met him. He had the reputation of being one of the best-looking men in the whole country. And the girls in the convent who'd seen him act, or had seen photographs of him, they used to just rave over him. So you can imagine how excited I was when my father wrote to me and said that he and James Tyrone had become friends, and that I was to meet him in the Easter vacation. My father first took me to see him act. It was a play about the French Revolution, and he played the part of a nobleman. I couldn't take my eyes off him. I cried when he was thrown in prison, and then I was so mad with myself because I was afraid that would make my eyes and nose red, and my father promised to take me to his dressing room right after the play. And so he did. And I was so bashful. All I could do was stammer and blush and act like a little fool. But he didn't seem to think I was a fool. I know he liked me the moment we were introduced. I guess my eyes and nose couldn't have been red after all. And then I really was very pretty then, Kathleen. And he was handsomer than my wildest dream in his nobleman's suit. And yet he was so kind and unassuming and simple. He wasn't a bit stuck up or vain. I fell in love with him right then. And he fell in love with me. I know that, Kathleen, because he told me so afterwards. Oh. And I forgot all about being a nun or a concert pianist. All I wanted was to be his wife. 36 years ago. I can see it as clearly as if it were happening now. And in all those 36 years, we've loved each other. That has made me very happy, Kathleen. That has made me forgive so many things.
Well, he's a fine gentleman and you're a lucky woman. Can I take the drink into Bridget now, ma'am? It must be near dinner time and I ought to be out there helping her. If she don't get something to quiet her temper, she'd be after me with the cleaver.
Yes, yes, Kathleen.
Thank you, ma'am.
You can go now.
You won't be alone for long, ma'am. The master and the boys will be home soon.
Oh, no, they won't come home. But tell Bridget it doesn't matter. We'll have dinner at 6:30 anyway. I'm not hungry, but I'll sit there and we'll get it over with.
Well, you ought to eat something, ma'am. It's a queer medicine if it takes away your appetite.
What medicine? What are you talking about? You better take that drink to Bridget.
Yes, ma'am.
You're a sentimental fool. What is so wonderful about the first meeting between a silly, romantic schoolgirl and an actor? You were much happier before you knew that he existed in the convent when you could pray to the Blessed Virgin. Oh, if only I could find the faith I lost so I could pray again. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. You expect the Blessed Virgin to be fooled by a lying dope fiend reciting words. You can't hide from her. I must go upstairs. I haven't taken enough. That's the trouble when you first begin again. You don't know how much to take. It's them. They have come back. Why have they come back? I know they don't want to, and I don't want them to. No, I don't want them to. I'd rather be alone. I'd rather be alone. Oh, no, no. I'm glad they're here. I want them to come back. Oh, I've been so terribly lonely without them. I'm so glad.
Are you there, Mary?
Yes, yes, dear. I'm here. I'm in the living room. I've been waiting for you. Oh, I've been sitting here so lonely and blue. Come and sit down, dear. Dinner won't be ready for a minute. You're a little early for once. Wonders will never cease. Here's your whiskey, dear. Shall I pour it out for you? And you, Edmund, no, I don't want to encourage you with one little drink before supper. Couldn't do you any harm. Where's Jamie? Oh, but of course he won't be home as long as he's got the prize of a drink in his pocket.
Mama, stop
poor
talking.
Jamie, who would ever believe that he was once my baby? And he was such a happy, healthy baby, too. Do you remember, James? He was always laughing and smiling. So was Eugene, happy and healthy in the 2 years that he lived before I let him die with my neglect.
Oh, for the love of God, I'm a fool for coming home.
Papa, shut up.
Poor Jamie, who would ever have thought that he would grow up to disgrace us? It's such a pity, and it's so hard to understand. No, it's not, James. You brought him up to be a boozer. Ever since he first opened his eyes, he's seen you drinking, and there was always a bottle on the bureau in the cheap hotel, and if he had a pain in his stomach when he was little or a nightmare, your idea of the best remedy was to give him a teaspoonful of whiskey to quiet him.
So I'm to blame because that lazy hulk has made a drunken loafer out of himself? Is that what I came home to listen to? Well, I might have known. Once you get the poison in you, you want to blame everyone but yourself.
Papa, you told me not to pay any attention. Anyway, it's true. You did the same thing with me. I can remember that teaspoonful of booze every time I woke up with a nightmare.
You mustn't blame your father, Edmund. He didn't know any better. His people were the most ignorant kind of impoverished Irish, and I'm sure that they honestly believe that whiskey is the best medicine for a child that's sick or frightened.
Now you listen.
Papa! Are we going to have this drink, or aren't we?
You're right. I'm a fool to take notice. Drink hearty.
I'm sorry, James. I didn't mean to sound bitter. But I was a little hurt when you said that you were sorry you'd come home. Because I was so happy when you came, and so grateful. It is dreary and sad sitting here alone, with the fog coming in and night falling.
I'm glad I came, Mary. When you act like your real self.
I was so lonely that I kept Kathleen with me, just to have someone to talk to. And you know what I was telling her, dear, about the night that my father brought me to your dressing room and I first fell in love with you. Do you remember that?
Can you think I'd ever forget, Mary?
No. I know you love me, in spite of everything.
Yes, Mary. As God is my judge, always and forever.
And I love you too, dear, in spite of everything. Although I must confess, dear, although I never could have helped loving you, that I would never have married you if I had known that you drank so much. Oh, I'll never forget the first night that your barroom friends helped you up to the door of our hotel room and knocked on the door and then ran away before I could open it. We were still on our honeymoon. Do you remember that, dear?
I don't remember. And it wasn't on our honeymoon. And I've never had to be helped to bed or missed a performance in my life.
I'd waited in that ugly hotel room hour after hour. I kept making excuses for you. At first I thought it was some business connected with the theatre, because I knew nothing about the theatre at that time. And then I became terrified. I thought some horrible accident had happened to you. And finally I was down on the floor praying that you were all right, and then they just brought you up to the door and left you there. I had no idea how many ugly hotel rooms I was going to wait in the years to come. I became quite used to it.
Christ, it's no wonder that she's... When's dinner, Mama? It must be time.
Yes, it must be. Mary, can't you forget the past?
No, dear, but I forgive you. I always forgive you. Oh, James, don't look so guilty. I don't want to make you sad, and I don't want to be sad. I only want to remember the happy part of the past. Do you remember our wedding day? I'm sure you don't remember my wedding gown. My father told me to buy anything I wanted and never mind the cost. The best is none too good for her, he said. Oh, I'm afraid he spoiled me dreadfully. My mother didn't. She was very pious and strict. Do you know, James, I think she was a little jealous of me. She used to scold my father. She used to grumble. You never tell me when I go shopping, never mind the cost. Oh, you've spoilt that girl so that I pity her husband. If she ever marries, she'll expect him to give her the moon. She'll never make a good wife. Oh, poor mother. She was mistaken. Wasn't she, James? I haven't been a bad wife, have I?
I'm not complaining, Mary.
Oh, well, at least I've loved you dearly. And I've always done the best I could under the circumstances. Oh, that dress. It was nearly the death of me and the dressmaker. Finally, she said she wouldn't put another stitch in it for fear of spoiling it. And I made her leave because I wanted to be alone to examine myself in the mirror. I thought to myself, you're prettier. Any actress he's ever known. And you don't have to use paint. Oh, that dress. I wonder where it is now. Do you know that I used to want to have a daughter so that when she grew up and got married, she could... Because I knew she could never buy one as lovely. And I knew too, James, that you would never say to her, never mind what it costs, you'd want her to get some kind of a bargain. I wonder where it is. It was trimmed with wonderful lace, and my father even let me have lace on the slippers and lace in amongst the orange blossoms in my veil. Oh, it's probably up in an old trunk up in the attic, and one of these days I'm going to have to look for it.
Mary, isn't it time for dinner? You're forever scolding me for being late. And when I'm on time for once, it's the dinner that's late. Well, if I can't eat yet, I can drink. I forgot I had this. Who's been tampering with my whiskey? Damn stuff is half water. Jamie's away and he wouldn't overdo his trick like this. Any fool could see. Mary, answer me. Have you taken a drink on top of everything
Papa,
else?
Shut up! You treated Kathleen and Bridget, didn't you, Mama?
Yes, of course. Well, they work hard for poor wages. And I'm the housekeeper, aren't I? I have to keep them from leaving. And besides, I wanted to treat Kathleen, because she drove uptown with me, and she went into the drugstore and had my prescription filled.
Mama, for God's sake, you can't trust her. Do you want everyone on earth to know?
To know what? That I have rheumatism in my hands, and I have to have medicine to kill the pain? Why should I be ashamed of that? Anyway, I never knew what rheumatism was until you were born. Oh, ask your father.
Don't pay any attention to her, lad. When she gets to that crazy old excuse about her hands, she's far gone from us.
Well, I'm glad you realize that, James. And maybe now you'll stop reminding me, you and Edmund. It's getting dark in here. Can't we have a light? I know you don't like burning electricity, but Edmund has proved to you that one bulb doesn't cost very much. You mustn't let your fear of the poorhouse make you too stingy, James.
I never said one bulb costs too much. It's having them on one here and one there that makes the electric light company rich. No sense in talking reason to you. I'll get a fresh bottle, lad, and we'll have a real drink.
He's going to tiptoe out to the outside cellar door. He's ashamed to have the servants know that he keeps the whiskey locked up in the cellar. Your father is a strange man. It took me many years before I understood him. And you must try and understand him too, Edmund. You mustn't just feel contempt for him because he's close-fisted. Your father had to go to work in a machine shop when he was only 10 years old.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Mom, I've heard Papa tell that machine shop story 10,000 times.
Yes, I know you've had to listen to it, dear, but I don't think you've ever really tried to understand.
Mama, you listen. You're not so far gone yet that you can't remember anything. You haven't asked me what I found out this afternoon. Don't you care a damn?
Oh, Edmund, don't say that.
Mama, what I have is serious. Doc Hardy knows for sure now.
That lying old quack. Now, I warned you that
he called in a specialist to examine me so that he'd be absolutely...
Don't tell me about Dr. Hardy. You should hear what the specialist in the sanatorium had to say about him. And he really knew something. He said that Dr. Hardy was the one that should have been locked up. He said it was a wonder from the way he treated me that I hadn't gone mad. And I told him that I had once. And I told him how I'd run down in my nightgown out to the end of the dock and tried to throw myself off. You remember that, don't you?
Oh, I remember that, all right. It was right after that that Papa and Jamie decided that they couldn't hide it from me anymore. So Jamie told me. Oh, I called him a liar. I tried to punch him in the nose. I knew damned well he wasn't lying. God, it made everything in life seem rotten.
Oh, don't.
I'm sorry, Mama, you brought it up. Now listen, I'm going to tell you this whether you want to hear it or not. Mama, I've got to go to a sanatorium.
Go away?
Yes.
No, I won't have it. How dare Dr. Hardy advise that? How dare your father allow him? What right had he? You're my baby. Oh, but I know why your father wants you to go to the sanatorium. Because he wants to take you away from me. He's always tried to take my babies from me. Do you know why? Because he's jealous. And that's what caused Eugene's death.
Oh,
and he's always been more jealous of you than of all
Mom,
the others because
please,
he knows
stop.
That I love you the
most. Stop talking crazy, can't you? Stop trying to blame him. I've been away a lot recently. I never noticed that it broke your heart. All this talk about loving me, you can't even listen when I try to tell you how sick I am.
No, that's enough. I don't want to hear because I don't want to listen to any more of Hardy's ignorant lies. You're just like your father. You love making a scene so that you can be dramatic and tragic. If I gave you any encouragement, you'd tell me that you're going to die.
Yes, well, people do die of it, don't they? Your own father.
Why do you mention my father? There's no comparison with you at all. My father died of consumption. Ah! I hate you when you're gloomy and morbid, and I forbid you to speak to me of my father's death. Do you hear me?
I hear you! I wish sometimes I didn't hear you. You know, it's pretty hard to take at times having a dope fiend for a mother. Oh, Mama, I didn't mean that. You hurt me. I was angry. Mama, I...
Listen to that foghorn. And those bells. Why is it, I wonder, that fog makes everything seem so lost and lonely?
Oh, I can't stay here. I don't want any dinner.
I must go upstairs. I hope sometime, without meaning to, of course, I will take an overdose. I could never do it deliberately, because then the Blessed Virgin would never forget me.
The padlock is all scratched. That drunken loafer tried to pick it with a piece of wire the way he's done before. But I fixed him this time. It's a special padlock a professional burglar couldn't pick. Where's Edmund?
He's gone out. He said he didn't want any dinner. He doesn't seem to have any appetite now. But it's just a summer cold. James, I'm very frightened. Because I know he's going to die.
Mary, don't say that. Both the doctors promised me that he'd be cured in 6 months, or a year at the most.
But you don't believe that. I can tell when you're acting. And it would have been my fault. I should never have borne him. It would have been better for his sake, and then I never could have hurt him. And he wouldn't have had to know that his mother is a dope fiend and hate her.
Mary, stop that. He loves you. He knows it was a curse put on you without your willing or knowing it. He's proud you're his mother. Shh, quiet now. Here comes Kathleen. I want her to see you crying, do you?
Dinner is served, sir. Dinner is served, ma'am. Oh, here I am. Won't Bridget be in a rage? The madam said you'd not be home. Well, don't be looking at me that way. If I have a drop taken, I didn't steal it. I was invited.
Well, let's have dinner. I'm hungry as a hunter.
Oh, I'm afraid you'll have to excuse me, James. I couldn't possibly eat anything. My hands pain me dreadfully. I think the best thing for me to do is to go to bed and rest. Good night, dear.
Have to take some more of that goddamn poison, is that it? You'll be like a mad ghost before the night's over.
I don't know what you're talking about, James. But you say such mean, bitter things when you've had too much to drink. You're as bad as Jamie. Or Edmund.